Welcome to Manager Tools. 8 positive feedback examples. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What can I give positive feedback on? Are there behaviors that are too small for positive feedback? How big an accomplishment should I give positive feedback for? Well, if we want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
I've been thinking a lot about feedback here recently, and I was at a conference here recently.
Is that because you had to fill in for Sarah for a couple hours, and you were hoping that Kate got there in time to spell you before you had to talk?
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah, but yeah. but it was fun. I had a blast, and it's just, you know, when we start talking about feedback, always everybody wants to talk about negative feedback. Always. It's when they hear feedback, they think negative feedback versus positive feedback. And as I was talking with folks, I didn't quite say this. I wish I had. You could influence your folks. You could get better performance by doing nothing other than positive feedback. I mean, you can never give negative feedback and you would get better behavior. Now, am I recommending you do that? No. But positive feedback for a lot of folks, they just set this huge bar in terms of when to get positive feedback. Oh, you won best employee of the year out of a company of 100,000 employees. Okay, I guess you get some positive feedback. But
yeah, other than that, I'll tell you, when we talk about positive feedback, I get reminded frequently when I'm with clients or at conferences of how cynical the world has become. You know, you say, well, give positive feedback more often for stuff. If you want stuff, if stuff makes your job easier, if it makes things efficient, even if somebody's doing their job, you know, go ahead, tell them that was a good thing. I mean, we even say, you don't even have to use the feedback model. We highly recommend it for all kinds of reasons. It works better and we have data, but regardless, just tell them thanks and that was good and well done. And they're like, well, you know, that's not my thing. Or, you know, some of my directs, they say, oh, you know, that's not, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I said, okay, that's a problem with that direct. That's a dumb direct. If your boss started pointing out stuff. Now, for most managers, if a director started saying, thanks for being on time to my meeting, that's probably at the manager level, that stuff is a little bit too simplistic. But I got to tell you, when people say, oh, my people will think this is dumb and so on, I said, I got to tell you, I don't think you realize the extent to which your people fear you, not you personally, but your rule power, and how often just a little bit of kindness goes a long way. I mean, how many stories have we read? You know, you see people forward me emails of some small thing that someone did that helped someone. And it makes you feel good. And it makes thousands, tens of thousands of people feel good. And there's so much focus on negative.
Well, you know, I'm sure you've experienced this. I know I've experienced this in my career hundreds of times where I was doing something that I thought was pretty good, right? I thought my boss realized I was doing something good, but she never said anything. And at some point, you just like, should I keep doing this? Because I'm busting my ass to do this. And nobody ever said anything. And then there are the cases where you're doing something and somebody says something, your boss says something, just some small piece of positive feedback. Now, of course, my boss at the time didn't use the feedback model, but if she said something to me, then I go like, okay, she noticed. I'm going to keep doing this. Which is exactly what she wants, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine doing something? I know you can imagine because it happens all the time. You're doing something well. You're doing something good, something your boss should like. You keep doing it. You don't hear anything. And at some point you go, I guess this is not important. I guess, you know, and you just lose interest or you just feel obviously it's not appreciated and maybe you're just wasting your time. And so you stop doing it.
Yeah, I would even argue, dude, you don't even have to feel that it's not being appreciated. I really don't think that's the case. You're simply so busy doing things, the thing that you did that wasn't noticed doesn't get reinforced. And when things aren't reinforced and there's 50 things to do, you're left to your own devices to pick up what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And so therefore, the thing that you did that was good, that the boss could have said something for, doesn't appear to you to be anything special because the boss didn't say anything about it. So therefore, when you're really busy, you don't do it. And then suddenly things aren't as good.
Yeah, you're self-regulating, autonomous
exactly.
being, and you're optimizing for some result, and you're looking for feedback all the time, determine, you know, what, you know, your optimization. And then, and if this thing that I'm spending time on is not impacting my outcomes, apparently, because nobody's telling me about it, then you spend time on those things you think are. And it's just the way feedback works in a system, right?
Exactly. Most managers have too high a standard. And so I've been thinking about this for a while. I've been writing down examples of feedback that were pretty simple. I think a lot of managers will hear this cast and go, oh, that's too trivial. And that's okay. We'll console ourselves with being right. And
humble. And humble, apparently.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just that, I mean, if you're a manager, you've been a manager for years, you've never been taught this stuff. It is natural, particularly for the high D's and C's of the world, that when you learn something new, it's natural for you to reject it, to say no. You know, that's not me. I'm sorry, I said D and C, I meant S and C. It's natural for you to say, no, that doesn't fit with my worldview. And if it's new, and if it's different and more effective, it suggests that what I am doing now is less effective, which is problematic for me. And so we reject it. And so I just thought an awful lot of examples might be good. And if you think this is cynical, you think this is too small, that's okay. Your colleague might not decide to give her direct some more feedback, positive feedback, and do better than you. But hey, that's just me. So, 2 points to make. We're going to give a high level talking about smaller and sooner feedback is always better. And smaller meaning you don't have to wait until somebody's employee of the year. And then we have 8 examples with actually a bonus in the 8 examples, which I'll explain in a minute. So, Mike, like you said, when most managers, you know, first, smaller, sooner feedback is better, always better. When most managers think about feedback, they think of negative feedback. They also think of their less than great experiences giving negative feedback. And for those of you who have done it and you've tried to talk to somebody about their performance, not using the feedback model, you were probably ineffective, as evidenced by the things you wanted to change didn't change. And or the direct took it far more negatively than you intended it. So that happened to you. It happens to almost every manager in the world. And we talk about this all the time at conferences. Let all your past bad experiences with negative feedback go. It sounds terrible to say this. This sounds, you know, you just have to give us the benefit of the doubt. You're forgiven for having all those poor outcomes. I'm glad I'm forgiven for it. Because, look, we didn't know what we were doing. You didn't know what you were doing. You weren't taught how to do this. And it's important, and it's a little bit hard until you get comfortable with it, until you build your relationship with it. Because people aren't teaching this stuff other than us, it's hard.
Plus, there's a bunch of terrible guidance out there.
Well, you're right. There's 3 types of guidance. None, terrible, and good. The problem is the none is gigantic. You know, that's 90% of the market. And the terrible is 9, and we're the 1. So, guys, let yourself off the hook and say, in theory, when I wanted to talk to that direct, give them that negative feedback, I had good intentions. It just turned out badly. And let's try not to let that experience with negative feedback, for which you were not trained and with which you did not have a good relationship with your direct yet, and so therefore they felt they saw you primarily as role power. Let's not let that affect our thinking about positive feedback, which tends to have very different outcomes. And you mentioned bad guidance. I mean, I say it's 9% versus 90 because I suppose now with the internet, it's more than 9. Maybe it's, you know, 19% rather than just 9. But sit down for 5 minutes and talk to your direct, somebody will tell you. Dudes, that's dumb. You don't have 5 minutes to talk to your directs when they make a mistake. That is written by some person who is writing a theoretical discussion of what should be in the world. It's why I like to say that Wall Street Journal and Harvard Business Review get feedback so wrong all the time. It's written by academics who've never actually done it. And it's not like I have 5 minutes to go over every single mistake anybody makes, unless we're waiting until they make big mistakes, which is also dumb in a different way. Or the other one, understand why. You know, you need to understand why. No, you don't. You don't have time to understand the why of every single thing all of your directs do, good or bad. And the moment you start understanding why, your direct gets a chance to defend why they did what they did. And since none of us make mistakes intentionally, you're going to end up in an argument with your direct between what they intended and what the outcome was. They engage in behavior that they thought was reasonable and the outcome was bad. Well, think about that for a second. Suppose you have a bunch of bad outcomes repeatedly for a long time while your directs repeatedly defend what they did as reasonable. Well, no offense, but every mistake we all make, we engage in reasonable behavior and things turned out badly. So people always have reasonable explanations for why they did what they did. But if you have a bunch of bad outcomes over and over and over again, do you expect your organization to do well? Do you expect your company to do well? Of course not. So the idea of understanding why is only interesting in the event that somebody repeatedly does something wrong. But if they do it wrong the first time, if they're late or they're over budget or they run a poor meeting that doesn't achieve the objective or whatever, you might as well talk to them about it rather than letting them go 10 times and then potentially having them learn bad behaviors. You know, allow the direct a chance to describe their motivation, exactly the same problem. Let's sit down, talk for 5 minutes and allow the direct to explain why they did what they did. You may discover why they did it. It doesn't matter why they did it. It doesn't. What matters is it's not effective. It says engage in a respectful dialogue. That sounds like it was written by a literature professor. Engage, respectful dialogue. The next thing they'll be saying, what's another good buzzword lately? None come to mind because I try not to use them too much. Plain language is better. Like we're supposed to be disrespectful to people. And there we go again with the dialogue. Ask your HR rep to review what you plan on saying. What? Every single time I want to give feedback, negative feedback, I got to talk to the HR rep?
That encourages you to talk to your folks more often.
Again, what this implies is you have to wait until it's serious enough to involve HR. And by the way, HR doesn't work for you. They work for the company. And every time you ask your HR rep for something, that goes, no offense, guys, in your file of, hey, maybe he's struggling more than other managers. Do a root cause analysis. We hear this in Silicon Valley all the time from high C perfectionist managers. I need to do a root cause analysis. No, you don't. You need to fix the problem. And maybe you end up fixing it. And probably that would take less time than a root cause analysis. But don't assume that if you and your direct do a root cause analysis together, they'll agree with your final analysis. Document everything. Gee whiz, like we have time for that. Document only in monthly memos. I read that just recently. Are you kidding me? HR wouldn't stand for it. The direct has to sign the memo. No, they don't. Oh, tell the direct exactly how to fix the problem. Oh, good. So when your direct makes a mistake, you'll tell them what to do? Pretty soon they'll be sitting around waiting for you to tell them what to do, and nothing will get done. Yeah, so all that stuff is ludicrous. And you might have heard it, and the website you went to seemed reasonable, and you tried to use it, and it didn't work. And it's not surprising.
Yeah, and then the response for folks is, well, I tried it. It didn't work, and so I just stopped giving negative feedback.
Yeah, exactly. And therefore, your response to your experience with feedback is negative. What ends up happening is we paint all feedback that way, and that means positive feedback gets painted with that brush, and it's underused. And then we end up substituting praise for feedback, which is kind of like substituting aspirin for brain surgery. For those of you who don't know, praise isn't very effective, and we have a podcast about that. It's called Praise in Public, Criticize in Private is Wrong. We're not against praise, but we're against praise being the primary way you talk to people about their performance. Praise makes your directs feel happy, and whether you like to hear it or not, happy employees are not more productive than unhappy employees. Rather, productive employees describe themselves as happier, meaning your job is not to make your directs happy so that they'll be more productive. Your job is to help them be productive so they can decide to be more happy on their own. So look, all that said, the keys to reducing resistance to feedback are in the heart of what feedback is, the key things you need to do when you deliver feedback in order to be effective. And they are brevity, being fast, behavior, focusing on behavior, balance between positive and negative, and a lot more positive than negative. Delivery, meaning how you actually say it. and frequency. And generally, I like to often put in front of that hyper frequency, much more than most managers are used to. We've never talked about those before. I've always had it in the back of my mind. I don't know why. I probably should have. But the whole point of it is there are various components of what it takes to deliver effective feedback. And if you get all five, you're going to be good. You'll do better if you have a relationship with your direct and they trust you. But even if you don't, if you follow these five, you'll get effective results.
So we're going to talk about all five? That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought about making this cast when I started thinking about this. I thought about making it about all five, and then I realized we've touched on all five without using those words an awful lot. But that would have been more of an academic approach, and so I thought I'd take a more hands-on approach and give some examples. And really, when I look at the examples here are really just around two of them, balance between positive and negative, because we're focusing on positive, and frequency in the sense that we're giving examples of smaller behaviors, which allows us to be more frequent in giving feedback. We don't have to wait for that Employee of the Year award, as you gave the example of. And one of the easiest ways to get balance, and when you do that, it's easier to give negative feedback, is to give a lot more positive feedback. And what managers say to me when I say, you need to give a lot more positive feedback, is like, well, my people need to do more that's worthy. And I said, no, you're misunderstanding. On a scale of 0 to 100, 100 being a colossal home run, the standard for feedback is not 80, it's 20. The idea behind positive feedback is, to quote, I can't remember now, I think it's Ken Blanchard, the one-minute manager, catch your people doing something positive. Catch your people doing something good. And tell them that that helps and that's good. In the same way that virtually every other high-performing system in the world gets lots of feedback externally and internally, and the best-performing systems have tons of feedback built in. And it's not wait until you're about to break and then fix yourself. Rather, it's I'm a little off here, let me make a small adjustment. I'm a little off here, let me make a small adjustment. I'm doing good, I won't change. I'm doing good, I won't change. I'm a little off, I'll make a change. And that happens hundreds of times, thousands of times, millions of times a second. In lots of other systems that we all take for granted every day, whether it's cars or computers or airplanes or phones or printers or anything else. So what it really means is you got to lower the importance of behaviors for which positive feedback is effective.
Okay. So we got 8 examples you're going to walk through. So let's go through some of those.
Yeah. So I just have been keeping a little list. Well, you know, in the last few months, of examples of things that happened that it occurred to me that most managers would go, oh no, that's too trivial. So I just thought I'd put them all together in a cast and make it specifically about the model. Now, folks, you're going to hear us use the Manager Tools Feedback Model. If you don't know what that is, we have lots of podcasts on feedback. Now, if you've never heard this before, it's going to blow your mind, and I'm sorry. And I would encourage you to go back and listen and catch up. But the basic principle is you ask the direct, hey, can I give you some feedback? Hey, can I share something with you? Wait for them to say yes. Those podcasts will explain why we do that. And then you'll say, when you do X, and X is a behavior they engaged in, here's what happens, or differently, the output of what they did. So when you're late, I worry about you. When you're ahead of schedule, it makes my job a lot easier. 2 different examples there. In the event of positive feedback, you say thanks, or I appreciate it, or well done, or keep it up. In the event of negative feedback, you say, can you change that? Can you work on that? Can you improve that? That's all. It's super simple. The model is the same. There's only one model. The wording is modified slightly for positive and negative in terms of the last step, but that's only because the purpose of feedback is to encourage effective behavior in the future. So here are 8 examples. They're not only not too small, but having seen them done or having done them myself, they create surprisingly strong positive responses from the recipient. I think the world is just not a very warm and loving place as it used to be. And anything where you tell people, hey, that was good, is better. And the fact is, most directs, guys, are so starved for positive feedback that even feedback on simple tasks is hugely appreciated. And the appreciation of the direct leads to more desire for and acceptance of negative feedback, because you are now seen as an honest broker. You're not only focusing on the negative and not only waiting until the direct is in trouble, you're willing to be candid with them about what's good or bad. And most directs, 99%, believe that their work is good, appropriate, reasonable. And in fact, a lot of it is. And so when they start seeing you noticing their positive, they're going to lower their defenses to negative. And even if they don't, they'll still appreciate the positive, and you'll get more of what you want.
No doubt.
So how do we do this, Mike? I told everybody we have a little bit of a bonus, and the bonus is, maybe we do this. You read the scenario, okay?
Okay.
And then I'll play the manager, and you play the direct. But the bonus I've done is, on several of these examples, I've given one or two or two or even three different ways to deliver the feedback, the when you do X, here's what happens statements, to give people the sense that you don't only have to, there's not only one right way to deliver feedback based on a particular behavior. There could be several ways to skin the cat. No offense to cat lovers. And because I got an email about that about a year ago, I felt horrible. So there's more than one way to get this done. And so I thought I'd give multiple examples. And this ought to give you a sense that you're not looking for the only one right answer. You can sort of stumble through it. And as long as you follow the basic structure of feedback, you're going to be fine. By the way, can I also say this? It happens to be August. And interestingly, we happen to be recording this on my birthday in August. And I was recently talking to a client that was in serious discussions with Chinese firms. And it occurred to me that in the Asian world, the number 8 is especially powerful. For those of you baseball fans in America, Wrigley Field played its first night game on August 8th, 1988, which is a very special day. Unfortunately, the game was rained out, but regardless. So I chose 8. I probably could have chosen 50 just as easily, or 5, but I just figured I'd choose 8 in honor of August and the number 8 being powerful in Asian cultures.
You're an odd man. I just got to
say.
Okay.
You know.
You know some stuff that I just like, oh my God. Where do you come up with this stuff?
Hey, look, for our longtime listeners, people who have been with us for longer than 11 years, we have to have some stuff in here that's a little bit fun, a little bit different.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that. Just everybody else, I'm stupid. I knew nothing of that stuff. My brain is not big enough to stick all that stuff into. I'd have stuff leaking out my ears. Okay, sorry, guys. All right, here we go. Scenario 1. You just emailed your direct and asked them to reach out to a fellow manager and get some information, and then afterwards get back to you with it by the end of the day. In this case, within an hour, they email you a reply with the information you were interested in. Totally cool, by the way.
Hey, yeah, good. You read it and you're like, oh, that's so good. They got back to me. It's so good. Within an hour. Yeah. Okay. Mike, can I give you some feedback?
Sure.
When you get stuff done efficiently, it shows me I can count on you. I appreciate it. Or, when you get back to me quickly, it helps me move forward sooner. Well done. Or, when you check off tasks to be done, like this one, it shows you're on top of things. Thanks. Or, when you meet deadlines, it shows you're a professional. Cheers.
Thanks, boss.
In this case, this is a simple task. It's done by the deadline. It happens all the time. And it, too, is worthy of positive feedback.
Yeah. And I feel encouraged to do that exact same thing in the future.
And he goes to his buddy and says, you know, now there's 5% or 1% of the community of directs who go to their buddy and says, you know, I can't believe it. Boss just gave me positive feedback because I did what he asked me to do. Now, I hope that they're talking to a professional sitting next to him and go, well, you know, what's wrong with that? We're always wanting more, you know, we're always wanting more praise, using the wrong word. Why is that? Well, you know, I do all that kind of stuff all the time. But on the other hand, you know, if you don't do it, he'd give you negative feedback, right? So, yeah. The vast majority of your directs will go, wow, hey, thanks, boss. That was nice. He noticed. Because most directs are in fear that you'll notice when they make a mistake. That's part of the reason why they don't tell you everything. I assume everyone listening knows that if you're a manager, your directs don't tell you everything. And the reason I know that is because I know you're not telling your boss everything. So what goes around comes around.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Scenario number two. One of your directs was able to get in some printing done quickly because she knew someone in that department very well. Now, without the relationship and the favor, getting the printing done might have taken a week through normal processing.
Yeah, let's assume she got it done in a day, right? Yeah. Hey, Mike, can I give some feedback?
Always.
When you create relationships and are able to get favors done like this printing, it impresses me. Thanks, dude. Or, Mike, when you can make stuff happen quickly because you have good friends in the organization, it's a great sign about your future. Thanks. Or, hey, Mike, when you call in a favor for the team and get something done, I appreciate it and I'll remember it.
Yeah, no big deal.
Well, it's helpful and I'm grateful. And by the way, that's a future cast we've got to put together. What do you do when you give positive feedback and the direct
dismisses it,
yeah. Right? They're essentially saying, I know this isn't that big a deal. And, you know, we think it's appropriate to say something. So, no, I just wanted to say thanks. A person who, when you say thanks, repeatedly poo-poos it. Now, there's nothing wrong with a person saying, think nothing of it. That's a polite phrase. But a person who says, well, I'm just doing my job. At some point, that person is essentially talking about their own insecurity, and that's fine. But it would be worthwhile to probably talk to them about that and say, I wouldn't want the CEO to say, hey, that was really good, and for you to say, no big deal. Because that's insulting to some people. Anyway, and maybe this happens all the time. But if you've ever been a manager for a team who doesn't build relationships outside of their team, you know how much harder that makes things. When you leave a company, most people, when I tell them this, they don't know it. When you leave company A and go to company B, you generally get a raise if you're going to the same job. That's partially due to internal salary compression, but it's also due, and actually there's a case to be made for why salary compression doesn't work, but really what they're doing, the company is paying you more for what is considered goodwill in the talent marketplace, meaning you have built up goodwill at the company you're at. You know where things are. You know where people sit. You have relationships you can leverage to get things done faster. That's one of the benefits of being in an organization. There are many detractions, but there's benefits, and that's one of them. When the company hires you, they know you're going to have to rebuild all those relationships to get your goodwill back up, and they want to pay you for that. Well, if you have a team that doesn't have any external to the team relationships, it makes things harder. Relationships make things easier, and they're the right thing to do, therefore, and they took the direct's time to build, and so they're worthy of feedback. Just the relationship is worthy of the feedback, let alone the fact that they were able to get a favor because of the relationship.
Okay. Ready for scenario three?
Sure.
Your direct is always on time for staff meetings and always prepared. Not a big deal, maybe. Something many managers would say is just part of your job.
Yeah, okay. And normal, that's the pushback we get on smaller examples. So here we go.
As if people are always on time to meetings.
So I want to ask you, no positive feedback, but every single one of your directs does everything they're supposed to do all the time. You would be king of the world tomorrow. You would own the universe. Oh, but I don't want to give feedback for that because they're just doing their job. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, hey, Mike, can I share something with you?
Sure.
When you're on time for staff meeting, it's a simple thing and it helps us be effective. So thanks. Or, hey, when you're on time for weekly staff, it shows you're a team player. Thanks. Or, Mike, when you're here on time and ready, it's easier to start on time. So thanks.
Thanks, dude.
Anytime. Yeah. And look, guys, maybe being on time is part of everyone's job. But there are a lot of people then, in my experience, that are not doing their job. If you imagine a team where everyone's late and compare it to one where everybody's on time, which would you prefer? In my experience in corporate America and all over the world, that the majority of people actually are late to things.
Right. Well, this is an example where you could change behavior pretty significantly just by giving positive feedback. Just imagine yourself. So just from my own perspective, I'm in a meeting, I show up on time, and half the people in the meeting don't show up on time. And the meeting starts 5 or 10 minutes late. All right, and that happens repeatedly. Nothing said, negative, positive, nothing said. So then I come to the conclusion that obviously this person doesn't care whether people show up on time or not.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's probably not true, but that's the conclusion I draw. And so, you know, my previous meeting runs a little bit late. I'm less concerned about being late. And so pretty soon I'm being 5 or 10 minutes late. Is that really what my boss wanted? Now, my boss could have said, hey, dude, I appreciate you being here on time. And at least now I have an idea about what the expectations are or what she would like. But no, most bosses just, they say nothing.
Yeah. Here's a principle about feedback. If the opposite of the good behavior you've identified, you've observed, is worthy of negative feedback, so being late, you would give negative feedback, you know, assuming you're smart about feedback. If the opposite of it is worthy of negative feedback, the good behavior is then therefore worthy of positive feedback. We do not say that 80% of the work, the middle 80%, is fine because it's appropriate, because it's within their job description. And then the 10% of the time where they don't get their job, that's done, that's negative feedback. And the 10% of the time where they excel, that's positive feedback. No. The 80% of the time that they get their job done, that's positive feedback. The 10% of the time where they don't get their job done, that's negative feedback. And the 10% of the time where they kick butt and take names, that's time for feedback and raises and pats on the back and cheers and private thank you notes and all kinds of other things. And going to your boss and saying, wow, she's ready for more responsibility. That's the way to think about it. It's not the vast portion of the middle where everybody gets their job done that you don't say anything. That's not the way to be. If you want more of what you want, talk about it.
Okay. Scenario 4.
Yeah.
One of your directs blind copies you on a mail you asked him to send to a customer. You didn't ask him to copy you, but you did ask him to let you know when it was done.
Okay. So, Mike, can we talk about your performance?
Okay.
Yeah. Can we talk about your performance? It's not an example. We give very often, but that's exactly what feedback is. We're talking about performance.
If somebody's listening to this, sometimes you're asking a different question as an example of a feedback somebody could give. But I want to be clear, you're not suggesting that every time you ask, you give somebody feedback, you ask a different question.
No, it can be, can I give you some feedback? That's what I always use. Can I give some feedback? And I use that just to dispel, to have proof to tell people that when they say, well, I couldn't use the word feedback, it's too negative. I'm like, dude, I've been using the word feedback for 25 years. I've used it 10,000 times and people get over it. It's no big deal. They understand. You have to brief them first, but we recommend you do that anyway. But yeah, I'm just using different examples. There are people who will say, I can't say that phrase. Can I give you some feedback? Which really suggests you have a very high bar for learning new information, which is bad.
Right.
Guys, there's nothing wrong with having a high bar based on analysis and thought. There is a problem with having a high bar to any new information at all. It's okay to have a low bar to the information and then to think about it and then later reject it. And it's not okay to reject it on its face. So I was just given different examples here, but you could say, can I share something with you every single time? The key is, for that first question, it has to be a question that your directs know is only used preceding feedback. So in other words, I can't say, hey, can I have a word, which I happen to like because it's only 5 words and 5 syllables. You can't say that when you want to have a word about something, just any old thing, a chit chat, and then also use it in feedback, because now I don't know when you say, can I have a word, what you really mean.
Right.
And of course, feedback is about the future and I'm the one who controls my future. So if you're giving me feedback about my future, but I don't know it's feedback, I don't know that what you're talking about is whether or not you want me to change.
Right. We're not trying to surprise our directs. When you ask that first question, we want them to know, hey, we're getting ready to talk. I'm getting ready to give you some feedback, positive or negative.
Yeah. Okay. So can we talk about your performance?
Okay.
When you blind copy me on that mail to Brand X, it's one less thing for me to worry about getting done. Thanks. Or, hey, Mike, when you BCC me on that mail, it's a perfect way to let me know you've gotten it done. Thanks.
No worries, boss.
Yeah, this is another example. It's a small thing. It's a simple thing, maybe. But for most of us, we spend time worrying about the status of all the work our directs are doing, whether things are getting done or being delayed. it's good to know something's on track. If it's good to know, if it makes your job easier, if you say, oh, good, that's done, check that off, that's worthy of feedback.
Yeah, I like encouraging my directs to do things that I like.
Yeah.
I generally get more of it, which is kind of a good thing. Okay, scenario 5. Your direct sends a note to your admin with about 10 changes for your calendar based on some updates to his project. He asks your admin to make the changes and let him know it's done, and then he sends you a note letting you know your calendar is now current.
Oh, I love this. Hey, boss, there were a bunch of changes to the project I got with Judy, your admin. She changed everything. She let me know she changed everything. And now when you check your calendar, you don't have to worry. All the stuff that's on your calendar now is accurate. I'm thinking, I love this guy.
Yeah,
it's like a self-licking ice cream cone, right? So, hey, Mike, is now a good time for some feedback?
Yep.
When you update my calendar based on changes and I don't have to do it, it saves me a bunch of time. Thanks. Or when you let me know my calendar's been updated, it's one less thing for me to be thinking about having to do later. So thanks for saving me the worry.
Part of the job, boss.
Yeah, maybe it's part of the job, dude, but it's a good part. So well done.
Cool.
And this is a case where closing the loop maybe isn't a big deal until you've spent your life as a manager with nothing but open loops, right? We learned this in the fifth discipline, right? Peter Senge's book about closed loops and open loops and so on. Open loops are worrisome, and you don't have time to go and check on everything. So having a loop closed, knowing it's closed, is better.
Good. Okay. Scenario 6. One of your directs sends you a long email with all kinds of detail and facts, all necessary for her request. But at the top, she includes a bottom line up front, bluff, and an executive summary paragraph.
I love this person.
Oh, yeah. Literally, I'm in love with this person.
I don't know how many times. We even have it happen here internally at Manager Tools. People close to me sending me long emails. Long emails. We teach don't send a high D long emails. But long emails, and it's I don't know where it's going. I mean, I know it's about work, and I know it's related. You know, I was thinking about it. Somebody sent me a note the other day. Need to give you an update on something. Well, I got to tell you, somebody says, need to give me an update. This email then is really about what you need to do. So what you need to do includes me taking my time. Okay. All right. But I love you. You're part of my team. So I'll give you the benefit of doubt. And the first line of the email was, about 6 months ago, this client made a request. I'm suddenly, it's like reading the first line of a book, which starts, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. You know, you're like, I don't know how this is going to end. And I can only hope, my only hope is that when I get to the end of this email, it will have been worth its time. But we're already starting out in arrears because I just read the first sentence. And at this point, it is not worth my time. At some point, it might be worth my time, but it certainly isn't yet. Yeah. So I love this one. I love executive summaries. I love bottom line up front. And for the record, guys, we're not suggesting that you send high D's and high I's one-line emails unless that's all that needs to be communicated. There's nothing wrong with telling your story. Just don't put the important part of the story at the very end. Put it at the beginning and then repeat it again at the end. It'll help you, by the way, structure your thoughts to think, what am I really trying to get across in this story, this episode, this event recapitulation sort of thing. So, okay, I'm ready. Hey, Mike, can I give some feedback?
Sure. I love it.
Yeah. When you put bluff, bottom line up front, at the top of a long mail, it saved me so much time. Request approved. That was kind of cool. I just yeah. Combined positive feedback with reinforcement, right? Or when you give me both an executive summary first and all the details, it shows me you've mastered the issue and you know how to communicate as well. Daily double. Well done.
All right. Thanks, dude.
Look, you want more of something, right? Give it positive feedback. You want less of something? Give it the opposite of positive feedback, which is negative feedback. Not hard.
Okay. Number 7. A forceful, effective direct gets interrupted in a meeting. Uh-oh. But rather than continuing, she stops, listens to the interruption, and replies politely.
That's a pretty big move for a high D, right? So,
that's a big move.
Yeah. So, hey, Mike, can I give you some feedback about the meeting?
Yep, of course.
When you stop and listen to the interruption Ethan made, and then you respond politely, It comes across as totally professional and respectful. I appreciate that. Or when you pause and listen, rather than holding up in your hand and continuing to talk, or maybe even talk a little louder, people notice you making that change, including me. Well done.
Cool. Well, I'm working on being less of a bulldozer, so.
Well, you're not just working, you're achieving. So that was nice. Well done.
Very cool.
Yeah. And again, this is an ineffective behavior that the direct was doing, being a bulldozer. And less of that is good. And you don't have to wait for a pattern. And you don't have to wait for them to be perfect at it. If they were on a scale of 1 to 10, they were a 4. And you really need them at a 7. But they get to a 5, thank them for getting to a 5. And then thank them again for getting to a 6. And thank them again when they get to a 7. That's how to do it. Don't withhold respect and appreciation until they get to 7. Because what you're saying is 4, 5, and 6 are just the same. And they're not.
Okay. Scenario 8. During a meeting, your team starts discussing something which is not on the agenda. One of your directs interjects to remind everyone of the ground rules and put this topic in the parking lot for later.
Oh, I love this one. Hey, Mike, can I share something with you?
I guess.
Hey, dude, if now's not a good time, dude, we can do it later.
No, I'm sorry. It's cool.
All right. Well, as long as it's cool. When you remind us of the ground rules like you did in the meeting, it helps us finish on time. Well done. Or when you get us to put Project X in the parking lot the way you did, it reinforces our use of ground rules. Good job.
Yeah, I hate it when we go long. Thanks.
Yeah, I hate it too, dude. Glad we're on the same page there.
Yeah, someone's sticking up for the right thing in a meeting.
Yeah, it's worthy of reinforcement, right? It's not hard. The bar is too high, guys. Lower the bar for stuff you can give positive feedback for. You'll give more positive feedback, which will help you get better at it if you're just starting. Your directs will appreciate it, and they'll be more comfortable with the negative feedback you give too, in part because you're better at it, and they realize you have an even-handed approach. And that's a win-win.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Cool, man. This is fun. Thank you.
My pleasure, partner. Anytime.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want, with easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions. It couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.